Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Well, sometimes you go see a show hoping you'll discover something. And I did that with a new group who produced a terrific show called Borderlands, Three Chords and the Truth. And I have the director of the show, Alex Higginhauser. Did I say it right?
Yes, he did, yeah.
Okay, tell us about the show, because it's a unique piece, and it got me interested enough not only to talk to you about, but about how this came about.
Thank you, Tom. I'm glad you liked it. It's something we were very excited to do. Borderlands came out of the Chicago Musical Theater Festival this last year. It was one of our mentored productions. So for those, we pair a writer with a production team and kind of see what happens with the draft. And we love the show. It's the best showing show in the festival, and we
wasn't
knew
it originally a shorter show, one act?
Yeah. So originally it was called Mr. Munch Has a Murmur, and it was just one of the stories that you see in the greater piece of Borderlands. So Borderlands itself, it's adapted from a book called A Guitar and a Pen, which is a collection of short stories, some fictional, some autobiographical, written by country music singers. I feel the need to clarify, it's not a country music musical necessarily.
No, it's more than that.
Yeah.
But it has kind of a once element to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Where they're all telling their stories and they're playing their guitars. And you like them because these are the country folks that play the backwoods bars, right? And the weddings. And they're not the Nashville superstars.
Exactly. And that's why I think it was a stroke of genius by the playwright, Elsie Bernadine, to set the whole thing in this dive bar where, you know, there's nothing glamorous about the place they are telling each other their stories. But yeah, we have a cast of seven, all of whom are multi-instrumentalists and vocalists.
Yeah, tell us where it's at. Don't know where the Frontier is.
Yeah, it just was renovated. So we're the first space in the Jackalope Frontier post-renovation. It's at 1106 West Thorndale, right at the Thorndale Red Line stop. Very easy to get to.
But you know, you open the door and you're in. There's no lobby here.
There's no lobby. There's no... Something I like about this space a lot is that it strips away a lot of the formality and some of the formal ritual of theater, and instead you walk in and you're basically on the stage. And you sit in, the place seats 35 comfortably, or the night you came, Tom, seats 45 a little tight.
It was fun.
It was fun.
And then you see all these instruments on the wall. And I figured, gee, this either a cast of thousands or they're all playing more than one.
Yeah, we really lucked out. This is the first time I've ever directed a show where every single person was far and away the first choice. And so you have someone like Ian Knox who plays the upright bass, and then he turns around and starts finger picking on a 12-string guitar, and then...
I mean, they were all great. Yeah, he's one of the leaders, yeah.
He is pretty fantastic. We're lucky to have him.
The girls can really sing, too.
Can't they, though?
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
But they're telling their stories, right?
Yeah, every person is telling their story. So it's a... I wouldn't call this your traditional, you know, toe-tap and Broadway musical. This is definitely a different kind of show. But that's why we were excited to produce it.
But you also had more than just country songs in there.
Oh, yeah.
Gospel.
We had everything from
gospel song
to rock
fantastic.
To the Food Pantry Gospel. Yeah,
yeah.
Demi Michalopoulos. The actress
really
sang that song. She is God.
Well, the first two songs were country-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, well, it's a country show, and it's cute, you know, and I saw it, ironically, the night before we were at Once.
Oh, that'll do it.
So that, you know, that got us in the mood, which is a nice comparison. It's not the same, but, you know, the same.
Well, we're flattered by the comparison.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I love Once.
And then when she sings the gospel, I said, whoa, they're going to do more than just, they're going to spread out. Now you really got me interested. And then it went on, there was a jazz riff in there.
For Then Again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite song in the show.
Yeah,
if you're allowed to pick a favorite as a director.
That's a very classy song, yeah.
I think it has the makings of a standard. It's Sarah Beth Tanner who sings that. I would work with her 100 more times. But anyway, I'm getting all off track. So the show itself about a group of singer-songwriters all telling their stories and getting ready to take that next step forward in their life, whether it's their career, whether it's in their marriage, whether it's with losing a loved one. Each of them are kind of gathering gathering their strength, gathering their stories.
So it has a book. These stories really make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're about real people. Like, I like the one where the guy went to the high school.
Oh, yeah, for career day.
Yeah. Guys, you know, they're all like, so you're a loser, right? You know, you play those bad. I mean, it was funny. And the way he handled it, the song was terrific.
You know, the guy who wrote that short story is coming to the show on Friday.
Is he?
We're really excited to have him, yeah.
So let's give a little commercial for it. You still have another weekend.
Yep. So it's Borderlands, Three Chords from the Truth, running through June 28th at the Jackalope Frontier. Tickets are $20 at their highest point. We're on Gold Star. We only seat 35, so
it's a steal for $20. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the show is in your lap in this space in a way that I love. The intimacy of this theater is something that we are very privileged to be working in.
Yeah, and I've been trying to get the word out. People keep asking me, what's good out there, and I've been promoting the heck out of it.
Oh, thank you.
Ironically,
please
I'm
keep
the
doing
only
that.
that's up on Theater in Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay, the reviewers haven't come out at all.
No, not a ton. I would love more of it to come out. We're still hoping for a couple of the white whales.
Well, I mentioned it to Chris.
Yeah.
So let's hope he comes out. If nothing else, just to see it, to verify. And I have a good batting average. The last three I recommended him, he liked all of them. So I'm 3 for 3. So
we're flattered to be recommended in that context, especially. It's a tremendously fun show to do, and the process of bringing it to life was an absolute joy. It's a rare
about that.
So it's a rare thing to have.
People know we're at Starbucks. I use this every once in a while.
That's fair.
They wait till I do the interview to start.
They start grinding the coffee. Yeah. It is a rare thing to have every rehearsal be a joyful one. But with this cast, right off the bat, the group clicked very hard. We were.
You could see that the night I was there.
Yeah, they care
about
it. And
talking after the show, I was talking to some of the actors, performers, and they loved it. Yeah, they loved it. They said there was a couple more songs.
There were 5 songs cut from that show.
Well, that was what, about a little over 2 hours, 2:20 or something like that?
With a regular length intermission, the show's about 2:10, 2:15. For the night you came, we had a fuller house than normal and one of the bathrooms out of commission, so we had to take an extra minute.
But it was just long enough.
Yeah, we don't want to make it so short that someone feels like, well, I paid $20 for an hour of entertainment, but at the same time, we don't want to make them feel like, should start getting
$1 But that's
back.
A dilemma. That usually they're too long. And, we always say they should trim 20 minutes. So you had the good sense to do that ahead of time.
And we were lucky. We have both in LC and Eric, the writer and composer, we were very, very lucky that they were heavily involved in the rehearsal process. LC was at every single rehearsal. Every single one. And we agreed right off.
He was very helpful, right?
She was,
she was.
We agreed right off the bat that, we both want the best possible version of this show. And that's going to mean sometimes I'm going to have to make a compromise, sometimes she's going to have to make a compromise. And our first read, the show was 3 hours and 10 minutes long.
Well, it's better to be overwritten than to be underwritten.
And it definitely was not underwritten. And there's a lot of very rich material that we did have to take out just for the pure consideration of time.
You save it. You never know. They call them trunk songs. They may find life somewhere else. Yeah,
and I think they will. And we'll definitely have them out at one of our uncommon cabarets, which we do every month. We feature a composer and showcase some of their work. It's one of the ways we reach out to new musical theater writers in both the area and from.
But this
lots
is the
of weeks
show that
the
came from the festival.
It did. Yeah.
Let's talk about the festival now,
please. Yeah.
Because that's what got me interested. Quite frankly, in the summer there's a lot of festivals, and sometimes we don't know.
There are.
It's like watching paint dry sometimes. But seeing the show, this is the alert to not only the real theater people, but other reviewers in town. Based on that show, if you have any doubt, go see that show. Once you see your Borderlands, then you're going to go to the festival, which opens on the 30th.
Yep, June 30th to July 19th.
And I already committed to it, and now I've got to figure out, you know, to get most of the shows in, as many as I can.
Yeah, there's a lot to choose from. We have 13 this year, 65 total performances in 3 weeks.
Wow.
It's nothing if not ambitious, and it's something that...
You guys, what's the purpose of this? It's because no one gives a home to musicals?
Exactly, yeah. When we arrived in Chicago as musical theater writers, because every member of our ensemble is a writer.
You've written too, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I got one coming up here in 2016, but we realized that they're just... The niche that was filled for a time by the theater building and by a product out of Northwestern, it wasn't being filled in the same way it had been. And
Northwestern was, they did a fairly big budgets because I used to go to all that.
Yeah.
Stuart Holcomb did a great job with that.
And with the theater money, the theater building, when the funds from that went to Chicago Shakespeare for the development of the musicals, I think that is a very good thing. I think they're being good stewards of that, but it does mean that there's not a lot of access at the storefront level, especially not for emerging writers. And so we realized that we were becoming pretty darn good at putting very new shows on their feet. We were lucky enough, we have a house band who can come to workshops, so it's not just a piano. We have a full rock band for every single workshop, and they are artistic associates and members of the company. We have monthly cabarets where we can test out songs, see what gets laughs, what does not, what lands, what doesn't. And we have our dedicated rehearsal space. We call it the understudy.
Where's that?
It's at Clark and Wilson. It's a tiny storefront. We just started a tiny storefront concert series, exactly, with Borderlands, where new musicals in town, and any new musical in town who wants to record a tiny storefront concert, it's free. We'd love to have you. You're in the awning of an actual storefront.
How do they reach you?
Email alex_theater.org, or click any of the emails on the _theater website, and we'll make it happen.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah, so we've got 4 or 5 of the shows in the festival. We'll be filming those in the next week or so. And I believe Bailiwick's Murder Ballad is probably going to be coming in to film a tiny storefront concert with us as well. The director of the remake.
Are these for sale or they're just...
Oh, they're just free on YouTube. Yeah, so we're just starting the series up. But the idea is we want to be an artistic home for new musicals and even Chicago premieres, because it's tough to get them here, but really to foster that new musical theater writer community. They're out there. And the fact
that... We need it, and it's not happening in New York because of budgets.
Oh, it sure isn't.
They don't... Even well-developed shows aren't being produced or aren't lasting.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, the most telling sign to us that this was a niche that needed to be filled was in this last year, between last year's festival and this one upcoming, we had folks from both the New York Musical Theater Festival and New American Musical Theater out in L.A. reach out to us to ask to start to form partnerships and pipeline.
Oh, that's cool.
And talk about develop. It's really cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they pay their publicists more than our entire annual budget. You know, the economy of scale here is laughably different, but I think it goes to show that there is a real need both in Chicago and nationally for some stewardship and for some guidance and for just a place to do work. Because, you know, there are people who, it's hard for me to admit, I'm a very proud person, there are people who write musical theater better than I do. I know. But they need a place that'll take the risk and put it on stage. So this coming fall, we are producing a new work by an Emmy Award-winning writer who, you know, came to us and wanted us to produce his work.
Can you say who that is?
I can. This is kind of a sneak. This is a bit of a sneak peek.
Okay.
But yeah, Peter Gwynn, Emmy Award-winning writer of The Colbert Report. He wrote Twister Dickens at the Goodman this last year. He and Jody Shelton, who did the music for the 50 Shades musical that just got done touring and was off Broadway, they wrote a show called The Story of a Story, The Untold Story. And it's got a hokey pitch. The show is very, very good. It's about a struggling novelist and a embittered graphic designer who are pulled away by magic into the land of cliches, which are threatening to take over storytelling, and they're in this quest for originality. But the whole thing is modeled after the hero's journey, a cliche unto itself, and they run into, you know, the cop who's only 3 days away from retirement, and the manic pixie dream girl, and the chorus of fiery Latin lovers.
That can certainly sing, yeah.
Yes, and the music is gorgeous, and the wit is top-notch, and we have a really, really fantastic team behind it.
Well, let me ask you now.
Yeah, please.
With the festival, with the variety.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting off track.
That's all right. It was good stuff. But I'll steer you, you know, if it comes to that. For a while, all the new little chamber musicals were coming up. They were either scream and holler rock shows, and you couldn't understand a word of it. And as you know, musicals, the songs should further the story. So if you can't understand the songs, you don't know what's going on. That was a problem. And the others were those limerick-sounding talk song shows that just drive me crazy. Are they getting away from that, the new trend? Are we going back to where the song, the lyrics sit on the music, like your show
did? And they get along? Yeah. I think that's the direction we're moving in right now. And I have to say, in my greatest capacity with the festival is in the curation process. I did the first read of all of the scripts that were sent us, and we got dozens and dozens and dozens of submissions for this. And as a group that's very small and very new, that I think says that there's a need for this. But the thing we paid attention to the most in our choosing is the idea of craft. And how the various crafts in book writing, lyricism, and composition, whether they are actually being complementary or they only are tolerating one another,
or sometimes they
work against each other.
They just stop and do a song that's irrelevant and then go back to the story.
Yeah, and it's one thing if you know your composer is a little better than your lyric writer. That can happen. I think that's actually just fine. You know, there's no show that's going to have exactly equal strength between all of them. However, when they can complement each other well, and when there's a genuine sense of craft and building and kind of each piece listening to the other, then you know that the show has legs, it has potential, and in, you know, after being selected,
and you get more people,
process,
you get a director involved, you get a design,
exactly, yeah,
ideas coming, it grows, yeah.
Yeah, and so for the festival, we have two kinds of shows that we do mentored and independent, and so our mentored productions, we have two, they are produced by the festival, so those are folks who have written a show or in the process of writing a show.
Are you involved in either one?
I oversee the process along with Laura, the executive producer of the festival. But each of them has their own director, each of them has their own team of designers and choreographers and musicians, but they are paired with the writer, and they all work together to bring these shows to life. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's bumpy. We've felt that both last year and this year. But what's wonderful about it is it's being able to be involved in the birthing process of an evening.
But these are full productions. These are workshops.
Yeah,
that
so
they're
going to
stop and change things and all that.
No. In the rehearsal process, absolutely. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's very much a new work process. And it's something that is the most challenging part about doing a new musical, is that there are a lot more babies to kill,
yeah.
to use that old writer's phrase, when you have a third dimension to your show. You know, if you have, or a second and third dimension, when you have words, that is fantastic, but you're adding stylized movement and music to it, and each of those is a potential place where a writer can become overly attached to a thing that is holding back the
All
show.
Right, types of shows. Do you have any old-fashioned tap shows? Do you have an anything goes type
old
of thing?
Old-fashioned tap shows. I think 1,000 Words is going to get the closest to that. It's
okay.
Got a very jazz feel to it.
Okay.
It's a really lovely show, and I have to say it's already starting to sell out, which is delightful.
Is that one of the opening night shows?
It is not one of the opening night shows. But I think you'd like the show. I hope you come out.
You'll give me an asterisk on that one after this is over, so I've got to make sure I...
Yeah, and then we have a lovely chamber musical called Flat Hughes.
I like chamber music
a
lot. Yes. Yeah.
This one is lovely. It's about... The marriage of Plath and Hughes, and you know when it was working and when it was not, and it's a show that could go towards the maudlin very quickly based on that premise, and instead it revels in this just simplicity and beauty. It's a really wonderful show. So you have that, and then you have a show like American Smoothie, which is an over-the-top musical comedy. John Grisham is a speaking character in this show, as is Satan, although he's a puppet. And it's completely ridiculous, but it somehow works in this wonderful way. That's one of our mentor productions. And then you have Recurring John, which is a song cycle about this, you know, these seven different people who have all encountered this man named John one way or another.
I like song cycles.
Yeah.
They can be really clever. Yeah.
They can.
Yeah.
And they can also be very, they can be clever or they can be lazy. And we've been very lucky with the ones we've gotten that they are very, very clever and well curated. And Kevin Wong, who wrote this one, has done a fantastic job. So you have shows like that, and then you have, oh goodness gracious. I'm at a loss here.
I got a list here. One of these. Isn't this one? This is it.
Okay. So then you have shows like Fanatical. Now, I saw a reading of Fanatical from American Demigods a couple of years
ago. These are the people that are non-mentored. They bring them in the show.
Independent productions are ones that have the means to produce their own show. They pay a modest producing fee. They get a large...
We charge a small fee.
Yeah, we charge a fee.
That's good to get that from, because there was a time, I won't talk about it too much, but where the business was, if you had a show, no matter how bad it was, you paid your money, and we had to seeing it, and they were in it. To me, that's a hustle.
It's a tempting model because it's easier.
Yeah.
But that's the reason. We talked long and hard about what we were going to do regarding production fees, and I mean, obviously, it's expensive to produce a festival.
Yeah, you got
to
get some money out of it.
Yeah, but you know, we could just go with giving, you know, us taking 75% of ticket sales and have at it. But we instead opted to have each group pay a fee that is kind of a sign of investment, and everyone has paid on time, and it has been a.
And it's a reasonable.
It's cheaper than they stick around, for them
to go rent a place and do it on their own.
Oh, way, 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 way less expensive. Yes.
Okay, that's great.
And it just goes to pay for the cost of producing the festival. I draw a salary of $0 for this, but it's about building the community and really getting groups of people to talk.
Making that investment, you'll hit that. You'll get that home run. You know.
I really think we will, and especially with the net cast as it is with these shows, it's such a wide range. This show, Nine Lives, it was adapted from a web series that these folks wrote about a person who has nine lives, like a cat, and it has lived from ancient Egypt until today. And again, it's a thing that sounds hokey. The way they have developed this is beautiful and dark and strange. And they had 9 hours of material from this web series that they have to turn into a 90-minute show. And they have done a brilliant job of doing it. I've stopped into a couple of their rehearsals, and man alive.
Good.
Yes, they're doing it right.
I can see you're excited about this. Yeah, and since you're not in this to make lots of money, you're sincere on it. It's all about the art, isn't it?
It is, and I'm lucky to have a really strong team of folks doing this, and we're all volunteers. We're all working to create this. Because Chicago is a place for new plays, this is a place
where you
can really rise quickly in the ranks as a new playwright, be recognized very well. I mean, look at Ike Holter, Calamity West. These folks, didn't arrive in the city 30 years ago.
Folks at the house.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And they've started to build these playwriting dynasties of really good work and work that convinces people to take risks on their and other new work. And that infrastructure does not exist for musicals yet. And we want to be that infrastructure. We want to be that place that is a home for new musical theater writers, because they're there, they need it, and
we need
it better.
You don't know how tired I am of seeing, and I love the great classic shows, and
You don't want to see Babes in Arms again?
Actually, I wouldn't mind. That's been a long time. But some of them you just see over and over and over. And some of them are just too expensive to do.
Yeah.
So these
these smaller versions, the simpler shows, the Onces.
Yeah.
You know, which is a relatively simple show, but just brilliant piece of art.
And you can do something beautiful with that kind of simplicity.
Well, your Borderlands.
Thank you.
What's going to happen with that show?
Well, we have a couple of different options right now. The cast is, you know, still finding their... Try that again. The cast is growing into the piece more and more as they go. I mean, I was very happy with where they were in opening, but that's the wonderful thing about having a good long run is that they're finding new things every day. And what we've been talking about is potentially bringing this outside of Chicago. It's not a show that would work in like a Broadway environment, and frankly, I don't think we're quite on that radar level just yet. But we've been talking to some folks in Nashville because it's a show that
would
fit
play in Nashville.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. And the nice thing is, we wouldn't have to build the dive bar.
No, you could find one in Nashville, yeah.
And I'll tell you, even here in Chicago, we did a photo shoot in Carol's, because it's on the same block as our rehearsal space, and that is a wonderful dive bar.
Well, I could recommend a few in the suburbs, too. But, you know, some existing theater companies, while this group is in place, you ought to talk to them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who would you recommend?
Well, I'd recommend Fred Anzavino.
Yeah.
At Theater Rubicane, off night. One of the biggest selling shows he ever had was Patsy Cline.
Oh, yeah. And that was all on offense, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, Patsy Cline was a feature show.
Oh, was it? Okay.
But he doesn't do anything on off nights. And I'm a big believer that, you know, you have the same overhead. If you can get, and if your people are looking, you know, some of them do Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
And if, you know, that would help. Because he's
brings
got a big
industry, folks, too. That's why we have a Monday performance for Borderlands.
Well, I told him he's got to come see your show. Get a hold of him at Theater Ubiquit. Because he's always looking for new talent. He comes up with these kids that can sing. You know, they can articulate. Because, you know, he doesn't use microphones.
Yeah.
And he's like,
there's space you don't need to. Yeah.
But he's like, I am. Understand every word. That's why his Jesus Christ Superstar never liked that show until he did it. Could understand every word, and it had great emotion. It really made it work.
I'm heartbroken I did not see that. I'm heartbroken I did not see that.
Oh, it was brilliant. So, he's a guy to contact. You know, Ring of Fire is doing, it's been extended to the end of the summer at the Mercury. That's another country.
I heard your interview with that.
Yeah, Malcolm Rule is just, he's the godfather. You know, he's involved in all that stuff. Yeah. But that Borderland was there.
I think it's got legs. And what I really like about this piece is that it's just so different from your average musical. You know, if you're walking in expecting, you know, Broadway schmaltz, you'll leave a little disappointed.
Well, it's in the avenue of once.
It's this mature
but
piece.
But this is a story
about and for, you know, adults, and it uses music to ask the question, you know, how do you change your story? How do you make that next decision in life with all the baggage that you carry with you? And how do you choose to remain optimistic in the face?
You know, it would be a terrific thing if it wasn't a musical. It would hold up.
I think
the stories would hold up dramatically.
And that's a good litmus test, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a couple of musicals I don't know if I'd see if they weren't musicals.
What's the biggest problem with musicals? The book. We all say that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the book needs work. But this one has a strong book.
Yes, it does.
So that, folks, that's an indicator of what the potential is of your festival.
Yes.
And that's why it's such a good idea. And that's why I wanted to get out and promote it, because...
Glad you did.
So what else do you have?
Oh, boy. So of the ones I'm looking forward to every one of these shows. Fanatical, I mentioned briefly, but I saw a workshop of that. It was 2 years ago now. And it was almost there. It was a very funny show. It was too long. It was in workshop phase. And they submitted to us this year. And boy, have they worked out every single kink in the show. It is hilarious. It's endearing.
Isn't it amazing that when they know it's going to be produced, it's not like we keep working on it and hope we can sell it to
somebody.
It's
the gift of a deadline, isn't it?
Yeah, the deadline is
it is.
Yeah.
So this is a fantastic show. Very, very funny. It's about, you know, convention goers to a sci-fi convention. Folks sing around the show Angel 8. It's kind of an analog to Firefly in the real world that... You know, is perhaps going to be canceled, and you know, wondering what's supposed to be. It's the people who devoted their lives to this really sci-fi show. So it's the nerds, the cosplayers, the people who take these conventions to the nine, and what happens when the rug is pulled out from underneath them. It is hilarious and heartbreaking and beautiful and really fun. And the music, I think this show could have a big life beyond the festival.
Do you have, for those who like, do you have any rock shows?
Well, this one itself, Fanatical, has got a real rock feel to it.
Okay.
Marble, Georgia has kind of a bluegrass rock feel to it. The music is
I like blue. I'm a big bluegrass.
Yeah. The music is written by this woman, Baby Money, is her stage name, Pamela Moore. But it's a devised musical from Duplicity Ensemble. And they produced with us this last year. Theirs was the second best-selling show in the whole festival, next to Mr. Montezuma Murmur, last year. And they write their entire show in the rehearsal process. They started with a concept and a couple of chord charts they knew they liked.
New Colony does a lot of that kind of stuff, too. Yeah.
And it's tough. If you do it well, the shows are phenomenal. If you do it poorly, it's tragically bad.
Yeah.
And these guys, that's how they do a lot of their work with Duplicity. Nathan Wonder, their artistic director, has a very strong guiding hand in their work. And
that's what same thing at New Colony. Yeah,
yeah, and that's
you need that leader. Yeah,
yes, you do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it ventures into wishy-washy territory very quickly.
Yeah.
But it's a very simple story. The music has these lovely and lush harmonies in it. But the story
give me good harmonies.
Oh, any day,
and
right?
I understand
I'll
the lyrics.
A thousand sins.
Yeah.
A beautiful harmony.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's about this this woman who's sent from Chicago to rural Georgia because of a death in her family. It's her last living relative. And she has these dreams for what her life will become, but instead she encounters these mysterious Georgia guide stones, which are a tourist attraction that are very real and very much there. They're supposed to have some sort of mythic properties. So it's got this element of magic and folklore to it, but it's a really cool show.
Okay, now, in the interest of time,
oh, yes, please.
Out of time, where is this festival? Starting the 30th, I know, June.
June 30th to July 19th, running Tuesdays through Sundays at the Den Theater.
At the Den, okay.
Yes.
1333 North Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's right.
Upstairs?
It's on the Den main stage, what they call it. It's not the hypocrite's space on the main floor, but yeah.
So you're going to do all of them in one space?
Every single one. And that's part of the fun of this. Every show gets 10 to 15 minutes to set up and 10 to 15 minutes to take down.
So the emphasis isn't on the sets.
It's not on the light. Set.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Some people do some pretty darn creative things with that 10 minutes they get.
Okay.
But the emphasis is on the work. And that is what we think is the most important thing, especially in a thing like this. You know, you could have shows that have a tech element that take them over the edge.
Who should come to see this show?
Everyone who likes musicals. And
how about
even
theater
who
companies?
Don't.
How about theater companies that are looking for material?
Absolutely. We've already been talking to folks from, you know, Bailiwick, from other musical theater production companies.
Fred Angelino.
I'm in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But this is the place that if you're looking to produce new work, and you know it's a risky thing to do, this is the place to see what that show really looks like on its feet and under the guiding hand of a director and with a design team.
And they would look at it and say, well, with this and this and, you know, minor change, but with a better look or lighting out, because that's not the element is there.
Yeah, and we have folks coming out from Nymph and coming out from LA to take a look at some of the work here, because really and truly, you know, I mean, to get a show produced in New York Musical Theater Festival, what does it top out at? Like $70,000 to produce it, and it's very challenging. It's not impossible, but it's very challenging to break even on that.
Steppenwolf, you know, the new regime there, Jonathan Barry, you know, is one of the producers now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know John?
I don't.
Huh?
Not personally, no.
Get a hold of him.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of the top directors sometimes.
Yes. Yeah, I know who he is. I just don't know.
Get the new regime out there. He's one of the new young forces that's taken over. I don't know when he starts, but soon. But I'd reach out to him.
Yeah, I'd like to. I was lucky enough to have a chance to sit down with Bob Falls a couple weeks ago.
I've interviewed Bob. Yeah, I know Bob.
Yeah, he saw Borderlands, which was great to
he saw it?
He saw it, yeah.
What do you think?
I didn't talk to him after the show. I just talked to him beforehand. But he spoke with our playwright, and he said he really enjoyed it. So it's coming third hand. But he one of the things he emphasized was that he's been looking for new musicals to produce in Chicago, and it's really challenging to find.
Are you getting them out?
Yes. Steve's I'll do
got
everything
to.
In my heart.
Because Steve is his number two man. You know, he's great guy.
Yeah.
Wow, that's...
Yeah, it was a pleasure to meet him, and we had a really wonderful conversation. He's a really charming guy. You know, it would be easy for him not to be with the position he's got, and he instead is.
And he's bluntly honest, too.
I love that, though. That's tremendous.
I know, yeah. You'd really have that.
I want more people like that out there. You got to have them.
So where can anybody reach you?
So the best place to go for the festival is cmtf.org, Chicago Musical Theater Festival, cmtf.org. You can email cmtf, Chicago Musical Theater Festival.org. You can email info@cmtf.org. It reaches me directly.
For all these theater people who are to come out.
Folks who run these theater companies will get you in for free. We just want you to see this new work. It's there. It begs to be produced. This is where you can see it in a way that's not just words
on a page. The reason I did this is because of how terrific your show Borderlands was. And I'm looking forward to more. Between me and my other reviewer, Jacob Davis, we're gonna try and cover all of them.
That is tremendous.
Well, we're going to try. And
it'll be a feat.
I mean, he'll go see 5-6 in a row. You know, I already talked to him about it, and he's interested in it. And he's a different generation, so he's going to go see some of the stuff that I know it's going to be hard for me to handle. But
sure.
But I'll try. You know, I'll try some of them. You know.
And I know I don't need to tell you, but I would say in reviewing them, I never hold back. These are authors.
Do you want reviews?
Yeah, we want real reviews.
You want real reviews? Okay.
Yeah, we want reviews.
I'll spread the
feedback.
Word out. Because they can obviously they can. And if they're not ready, they'll say so.
Yeah, and some will be, some won't, and that's what I think of the beauty of the process.
Talk to Chris Jones or Hedy?
We've reached out to both. Yeah, and I think we'll be able to see them at the festival at one point or another.
Great.
But the real thing with this is that there's no other place where you're going to see this much new musical theater being produced, and the fact that we can have reviewers come out and take a look at it and really judge them on their merits, rather than, no one's going to send their draft of a script to a reviewer and say, hey, what do you think of this? That's a recipe for terrible disaster. Instead, this is a chance to really build something.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And
thank
folks,
get to
this festival, and as usual, go see a play this week. Thanks for listening.